Welcome once again to At Home in Your Hymnal. This is Pastor Clint Poppy. Along with me is Pastor Adam Moline. We are privileged to serve the saints here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Each episode of At Home in Your Hymnal is to help, encourage, and teach you. Are you ready for this? To be at home in your hymnal. Pastor Moline's,
genius.
Pastor Moline is shaking his head in astonishing disbelief. Believe it or not, Pastor, I came up with that title all on my own. That tells you how clever and witty I am. But in all seriousness, the greatest encounter that we have with a hymnal is generally when we go to divine service or one of the prayer offices in church. Back in the olden days when I was a kid, everybody had a hymnal at home. Everybody used the hymnal for family devotions, for private devotions. And I'm not sure how people in the Lutheran Church, and specifically the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, fell out of that habit of doing that, but we're trying to teach and encourage people to be at home in their hymnal, not only in church, but also to consider being at home with your hymnal in your home. Pastor Moline is just chomping at the bit to say something.
Yeah, well, I think, if you're a head of a household, a father, or, extenuating circumstances, mother, you have kids and things like that, consider buying a hymnal. And there's services in there that you can do with your family on a regular basis. You can teach your kids to sing the hymns of the church. And already, even in infancy, you can teach children to have a love for God and his word and the way that he delivers his goods. And that's a good and God-pleasing thing for you to do at your home.
And along with that, I know a particular project that Pastor Moline is working on right now is to teach not only a love for the worship of the church, God's word, the hymnody, the psalms, all these things that are in the hymnal, but to teach a proper reverence for God and his word and the entire act of God's service to us that we generally call worship. We've been working our way through Divine Service Setting 1, and the last several episodes we spent on This is the Feast, the hymn of praise that probably is one of the most familiar aspects of Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book, page 151 and following. The last two episodes we spent in great detail on the Gloria. And now moving on in your hymnal from that hymn of praise section, we get to a little spot, top of page 156, that says salutation and collect of the day. The salutation is the Lord be with you. That is either sung or spoken. And the response then in Divine Service Setting 1 on page 156 of LSB is, and also with you. Now, if you have grown up Lutheran, if you've been in the Lutheran Church for a long time, or if you grew up Roman Catholic and worshipped in the Roman Catholic Church for a long time, you realize that this response in the salutation is different. This response has been changed. In Divine Service Setting 3 in Lutheran Service Book, page 184 and following, we retained the old traditional response. And this is, kind of a concession to the modern times, all these kind of things. What bothers me is that people rarely talk about the theological significance of what's going on here. So you get the picture. The people sing, and when they're done with the hymn of praise, the pastor turns, he faces the people, the Lord be with you. And then the people respond, and also with you. Have a good day, you too. That's kind of really what's going on here. It's become very common in the Christian church to have that kind of as a greeting or a response when people meet each other. But this is not the way it has always been. This is a significant change.
Yeah.
I want to read a couple of paragraphs from a Bible study that was put together by a friend of mine, Reverend John A. Fram. And I think he's serving in Illinois right now, formerly in North Dakota.
And sure, there you betcha.
Before that, he was in Golden, Colorado. But he put together a very, very great and detailed Bible study called The Divine Service, Its History and Theology. And with regard to the salutation, he says, the salutation precedes the collect of the day in the divine service. This exchange is one of the oldest parts of the liturgy and is used in various rites. The salutation is more than simply a churchly or liturgical way of saying hello. That this was even an exchange or dialogue was clouded in understanding due to the recent strange liturgical practice of the pastor speaking his part and the congregation chanting theirs, as was the mistaken practice of many using the Lutheran hymnal, the 1941 TLH, most people would say the old blue or the old red hymnal. Assuming there was no chant for the pastor, which was in reality in a companion book. The most ancient response to the salutation is, and with your spirit, or as you may know from Divine Service Setting 3, and with thy spirit. And also with you is more of a modern innovation, reflecting the influence of the Second Vatican Council of the Roman Catholic Church. Interestingly, in the last few years, the United States Council of Catholic Bishops has produced and authorized a new translation of the Mass that undoes the salutation response from, and also with you, back to, and with your spirit. So those who influenced our change to, and also with you, no longer use that response. Pastor, your thoughts and your reflection with regard to the response of the people, and also with you, with in contrast to the ancient liturgical response, and with thy spirit.
Yeah. The more modern response, and also with you, reflects the idea that, I don't know how to say this the right way, everyone is really an equal office and job responsibility within the divine service.
You can say it the way it is. Everyone a minister.
Everyone a minister.
That's the teaching, and the false teaching that crept into the church in the 50s and 60s.
Exactly. Whereas the other response, and with thy spirit, even in Lutheran worship history and practice book, it makes the reference that this is called the little ordination. It's a recognition that the pastor is there for a specific reason and purpose, and that is he is called to serve in an office to distribute God's gifts, to preach God's word, to baptize, to distribute the Lord's Supper. And since he is in that office, the office of the holy ministry, we say, and with thy spirit, because we know it's not just the man that is doing this work, but rather it is the spirit using that man as the instrument of proclaiming the gospel. And so for that reason, I think the older version, with thy spirit, is actually to be preferred in that regard, because it acknowledges the reality of what the office of the holy ministry is.
And so it is a response that either upholds and teaches the importance of the office of the holy ministry, or ignores or denigrates the office of the holy ministry. And I suppose, and if we put the best construction on it, we would say people just don't even think about it.
Right. I think that's probably the reality across most of the board. I have talked to people, learned church professors who have said, you know, some pastors just think they're Jesus up there. That's why they dress the way they do, and that's why they say the things that they say. Return and with thy spirit acknowledges the fact that the man himself is not Jesus, that he's actually there as a servant. He's in a way the ambassador for God. The word that he speaks is not his own word, and when he does say his own things, it doesn't carry any weight or value because it's not from the source that sent him, which is God. And the same way with an ambassador, like in Egypt or whatever, if the Egyptian ambassador says, you know, the United States is going to give you $100 billion, but the Congress and the President and the government here hasn't authorized him to do so, then that word doesn't carry any validity. And it's the same thing with pastors.
The Bible passages that come to mind, first of all, Luke 10, verse 16, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. I think that verse, Jesus' words here, clearly state that ambassador teaching and that ambassador concept that you're talking about. And also the words with which Jesus instituted the office of the holy ministry from John chapter 20. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That response, "and with thy spirit," is an acknowledgement that something happens in ordination. We're not talking about some indelible character and the pastor or the ordained person is somehow above or a higher class, nothing like that, but has a special call from God to speak on God's behalf.
Maybe the way we can think about it is the same way we put a president into the office. He's elected and to that office before he's actually installed. And once he is installed as the president, he carries the authority of the president. Once his term is over and someone else is installed in that office, that authority has also disappeared. And it's the same thing with a pastor. Ordination puts him to be eligible to serve in an office. Installation places him into an office through rite vocatus, a rightly ordered call. And that's the acknowledgement with thy spirit says, God has placed this man here to give me the gifts, and God is actually giving the gifts through him.
I think that is a wonderful word picture. And when a pastor or when a president is no longer the president, either when he's unelected or term limited out of honor and respect, people still call him Mr. President. They might even have him come and give a speech or present diplomas at the commencement exercise, but he has no authority to enact law or make executive. That's all gone. Mm-hmm. That's all gone. And I think we in the church could learn a lot from that with regard to pastors who have retired, pastors who no longer have a call to a specific spot. And we treat them with honor and with great respect for the service that they have done. But they're not the pastor anymore. And we create much confusion when we act and think like they are. We need to take a break. This is At Home in Your Hymnal. We're looking at the salutation and response. And in a little bit, we're going to look at that funky little prayer called the collect. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.